World's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I don't know if it's possible. I don't want to get all soft on y'all out there and ruin my reputation, but I don't know if it's possible to say that you love people that you never met, but I want you to know a lot of you out there, I love a lot of you out there. Don't even know you. Been getting a lot of emails, pats on the back, encouragement. And I just want you to know that I appreciate it. And, you know, this, what I do is, I don't even know what I do. Somebody ask you that, Coach, what do you do? You know what I'm finding out? I'm hearing every day from people who are watching the show that I would have had no idea. And, you know, I told y'all I put up some billboards. And you know what the billboards are doing? I think billboards are doing a real sifting that some people who go to the website and watch the show, you know, some are turned off by it immediately. They don't want anything to do with it. They don't like I yell, mean, I'm angry. They don't like all that. But the sifting process, there are those who immediately, they like it. They like it. And so I just, you know, I'm just encouraged. I got a lot of over the last week, just got a really lot of nice things. And you know, I'm really swimming upstream, and you guys are swimming upstream with me. That's why we're all paddling for all we're worth here. And I'm the more and more. I told Michelle today. I got up early again this morning. I was doing my show prep. I learned that from Rush show prep. I was doing the research here this morning, and I said to her after 2 hours, I've been working 2 hours this morning to put this show together. If you guys think I just hit the live button and we go, no. And I want you to know a couple things. Number one, I'm not that smart, okay? But I do have maybe more time than a lot of you have. And I spend a lot of time doing research. And I said to Michelle coming down here, you know what? They keep us so busy in life that we really don't have time to do any research on anything. They keep you so busy at work and making a living, both the husband and the wife, and you've got the weekend, so you've got to try to do all your playing on the weekend. So you got Saturday, Sunday morning is taken up with church. A lot of people going to church. So by noon, now the day's almost already over. So now you got about 5.5 hours of sunlight to try to do something. And people want to do something because it's the weekend. And then boom, all of a sudden it's Sunday night and you're back to the grind on Monday. And people just don't have the time to do the research. Well, I do. I thank God that I do. And I'm hearing from people, gratitude. Some of you out there right now laying out there in the hinterland, they're thinking, man, what is going on with this guy? Where does he come up with all this stuff? Folks, listen, the Lord just orders my steps and the Holy Spirit directs me and I just do research. And I research this topic and I research that topic. And I would say that if you had the time that I had, you'd come to some truth as well. Come to some truth. And we're in the midst of there's a revolution. You don't know this, especially if you're one of those people I just talked about. There's a revolution going on around us, and we have no concept of what's going on. Okay, absolutely none. I'm gonna start out today with something. I got it. What's that? A Smokey and a Bandit. I got a long way to go and short time to get there. And today's Friday. Which means, God, I have to be alone with myself. Well, I'm not really alone with myself, but just me for the next 48 hours. We'll make it though. Jared, click up there. It says Mark Trump email. Mark Trump is in the queue. I don't know if Mark's in here with us today or not. I know Mark wouldn't. Let me see here. I don't think Mark would care if I shared it. If he's not in here, he must be sick or something because he's with us all the time. Well, Mark, I'm sharing this that you sent it to me. He just sent me this email yesterday. This is absolutely mind blowing. Okay, hang on. Listen, for those of you, Larry did the teaching yesterday on how you know if you're a Christian, how we recognize a Christian, and kind of summed up the whole thing for me yesterday at the end of the show. I don't even know if I did this on the show, but whether I did it after the show, or whether I was just ranting to myself. I'm going to give you out there, folks in the hinterland, those of you watching and wondering if I'm crazy, I'm going to give you one funnel. We'll get that in just a second, Jared. I'm going to give you one funnel. Are you ready for the funnel? You want to find out where somebody is with their faith. You see how many times they use the name Jesus. Jesus, not God, not our Father, not, you pick up whatever term. See, it says, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God, right? So you can say God, 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 God. And I'm going to tell you, you try this. You put this shoe on and you walk around with it and you see how it fits. Purposefully begin to change your vernacular. That's another big word I learned when I was in college. Change your words from God to Jesus. And watch the effect that it has on people when you do it. God bless you, brother. God bless you, Sarah. Oh, God bless you. No. Jesus bless you. May Jesus be with you. Woo-wee. Changes everything. Changes everything. And my buddy Flip Benham told me that the name of Jesus unites his enemies and it divides his friends. That's a good one. A good one. So there's evidence number one. There's something about that name. Use that name, Jesus. I got this from Mark yesterday. I'm trying to, the theme, I guess if there's been a theme this week, and Jared accused me the other day, says, Coach, you just go in patterns. You go 3 months on this and 3 months on that. And I said, well, I keep circling back because we get new people joining us all the time. And here's what happens to new people join us. Folks, listen, I'm going to try to help you out here. Some of you start watching and you watch it silently. You don't tell anybody about it. And then maybe you share it with a friend and then your friend turns it on. And they're one of those people I talked about they're about 10 minutes into it. They don't like me. They don't like my attitude. They're hateful. They turn me off. And so then when you have said, hey, you got to watch this and they watch it. And then your friend comes back to you and says, oh, that guy, he just hateful. You're not listening to that crap, are you? And then what happens? Then all of a sudden you just lose all your confidence. You think, well, I'm wrong. I must be wrong. And I've said 1,000 times, this isn't for everybody. This is not for everybody. Because this, our show, it gores sacred cows, man. I'm telling you, it does. And we as Christians we have to be, golly, we're so boxed in. Right now, as we sit here right now, there is a storm raging in America, around the world, really. A spiritual storm that's raging with Trump and crew. You don't have to believe it. I can't prove it to you, but it's happened. Because the other side's real. And unfortunately, the scriptures tell us that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, and we don't even know what his devices are. In fact, we don't even understand the power of Satan. We don't understand any of that. We don't understand how his minions operate and where his minions are, and we don't get any of it. And because of that, we don't understand what's happening to us. Talking today about chemtrails, I was just led to do this real quick because a lot of people can't even look up in the sky and see something, and they don't even get it. I came across a video yesterday. Jared, maybe you can pull that up there for me real quick. I'm sorry. Go to Lionel. You just had it up there for us. There's this internet guy he's a former lawyer, used to be on radio in New York City. And he does internet shows like we're doing right here. And his name is Lionel. There he is. L-I-O-N-E-L. And he did right there. I'm not going to show you this. It's an hour and 11 minutes. He did the most unbelievable expose on chemtrails with Dane Whittington that you will ever watch. It's an hour and 11 minutes, but I'm telling you, it is worth the time. It's worth the time, okay? So there it is. I don't know how you guys can write that link down. Go to Lionel and look for it. What the hell are they spraying? That's the title. What the hell are they spraying? You walk into the average church, you think the average church has any idea that something's being sprayed on us? Any idea? Think? People are getting sick. People are getting cancers. People are getting this unbelievable flu. But I'm a conspiracy theorist, but talk about it, right? Okay, so there. There's your homework for this weekend. Take in this hour and 11 minutes, and you won't be as ignorant as you were when you came here this morning. Okay, Jared, let's go back to the email. Geoengineering. That's right, Jared. It's geo. It doesn't matter. Most people don't even want to believe you. If you go to your the same people who are tell you not to watch this show are the same people that will deny that this has gone on. Okay? Just file that one away. Okay, I got this from our friend Mark Trump yesterday. During the show, he emailed me this. Are you guys sitting down? He says, hey, bloodlusters. Mark wrote this to me. Maybe he copied this. This product is perfect for you. We have provided the world's first drinkable synthetic blood substitute available for human consumption. This fantastic fruit punch flavored beverage packs 80 milligrams of caffeine together with iron and electrolytes. And not only does blood energy potion have a similar nutritional makeup to real blood, it has the same color, look, and consistency. So when you don't have the chance to suck some real blood, grab a blood energy potion. It even comes in a resealable transfusion style pouch. This product is 3.4 ounces. Okay, you say, this is a joke, right? Hey, Jared, click on the first one. Shop Harco Labs Blood Energy Potion. There it is. $3.99. You can buy it. Do you believe this, folks? Do you believe this? So cool. What Mark sent me was just the introduction of what says underneath there. Do you know that we're living in a society with people who are doing this? Unbelievable, right? Oh, Coach, well, that's just a joke. Is it? Is that really just a joke? You want your kid going around and drinking blood like this? Jared, go back. Let's get rid of this one and go back and click on the other one, Jared. Mark attached two of them. Living blood. Look at this. Is blood energy potion right for me? Learn about blood energy potion. How does blood energy potion, when I start feeling better, what should I do? Who should not drink blood energy potion? Is blood available in generic form? How else can I help my bloodlust in addition to drinking blood energy potion? You say, Coach, this is tongue in cheek. Is it? Is it? Will drinking blood energy potion as human give me vampire powers? Unfortunately not. Huh? They're joking about it, right? Brothers and sisters, it is. We are in a brave new world. Okay. Okay. You sitting down? You're sitting down. Let's get into it here. Let's get in. You got that? It was a Mark Trump email. This is one of those days I need about 4 hours.
Okay. Coach, the Bible says that we're not supposed to drink blood, right? Or eat blood or make sure that the meat is all drained of the blood.
We're not supposed to. That's right. Why do you think we cook food, right? But see, right. Here's what I want you to understand. Believe it or not, and those of you whose friends are telling you not to watch me that I'm crazy, right? What do we think we're hearing about with PETAgate and SRAs and human trafficking? What do you think we're talking about? Truth is stranger than fiction, they say, right? Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah. Hey.
If you're interested, just check it out. You can buy it on Amazon.com, $12.99 for 3 bags.
All right. Well, there you are, Matt. Huh?
Amazon.com.
Okay. Think they know that? Think your pastor's talking about this weekend? This weekend, huh? Do you think there's anybody sitting in the church who might be messing around with this? Think so? Think any teenagers are talking about this in their chats or whatever? What do you think out there, boys? What do you think? I think it's a pretty good chance. Then I got to go to this because we may never get by this. Jared, go down to where it says Webster's Dictionary. I got an email yesterday, and I got to share this too. This is, you guys know what Webster's 1828 dictionary is? 1828. Now you can buy the actual dictionary, but you can buy there's an online version, and that's what I got up on the screen right now, and this was sent to me yesterday, and I was just blown away. This is written by Noah Webster, the Noah Webster. And if you've ever seen a Noah Webster dictionary, it's very, very thick. There's scripture in the front of it. It just ain't a dictionary, okay? And Noah Webster is the guy who's been credited with bringing all the different types of English languages and setting a standard of the English language, okay? I want us to do an experiment right here because this is fascinating. So I just go down a minute, Jared. I'm sorry, go back to the top a minute, Jared, because we're going to do this here in a minute. All you got to do right there, just dictionary search. You type in a word. So we typed in gospel. Just typed in gospel. This is the American Dictionary, the English language, 1828 edition, Noah Webster, okay? What did Noah Webster say? Gospel, to noun. The history of the birth, life, actions, death, resurrection, ascension, and doctrines of Jesus Christ. Or revelation of the grace of God to fallen man through a mediator, including the character, actions, and doctrines of Christ, with a whole scheme of salvation as revealed by Christ and his apostles. The gospel is said to have all to have been preached to Abraham by the promise, and these shall all nations be blessed. It is called the gospel of God in Romans. It's called the gospel of Christ in Romans 1:16. It's called the gospel of salvation in Ephesians 1. It's God's word. It's divine theology. It's any general doctrine. Gospel verb transitive is to instruct in the gospel or to fill with sentiments of religion. Guys, remember how times I said to you that words have meaning? And what they've done to us is they changed the words. Change the words, change the world. Okay, Jared, let's go back up there. Jared, let's click on, I just did some of my own here. Go back up the top, Jared, and put in violent, violent, violent. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. What did the language used to mean before they changed everything on it? Okay? Violent, adjective, Latin, violent, violentus, forcible. Moving or acting with physical strength, urged or driven with force, violent wind, violent stream, violent assault, violent conflict. Number two, vehement, outrageous as a violent attack on a minister. Three, how about this one? Produced or continued by force, not spontaneous or natural, not spontaneous or natural. From the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered unnatural violence. Huh? Huh? Produced, act by violence, assail, fierce, vehement. We must be reckoned fierce and violent, severe, extreme, extorted, not voluntary. Vows made in pain are violent and void. Violent presumption and laws, presumption that arises from circumstances which necessarily attend such facts. Some circumstances being proved, the mind infers with confidence that the fact has taken place. And this confidence is a violent presumption which amounts to proof. This is amazing. I'm getting goosebumps. But what the word means, not just the word, but words, what words mean. Jared, go to love. I thought, okay, love, love. I'm going to type in love. What's love? Why, it's a transitive verb. The sense is probably to be prompt, free, willing, from learning, acting, or drawing. Stay with me. Love is in general a sense to be pleased with, to regard with affection, on account of some qualities which excite pleasing sensation or desires of gratification. We love a friend on account of some qualities which a friend brings to us. We love a man who's done us a favor in case gratitude enters into the composition. We love our parents and our children. We love to retire to a cool shade. We love a warm room in the winter. We love to hear an eloquent advocate. The Christian loves his Bible. In short, we love whatever gives us pleasure and delight, whether animal or intellectual. And if our hearts are right, we love God above all things as the sum of all excellence and the attributes which can communicate happiness to intelligent beings. In other words, the Christian loves God with the love of complacency and his attributes, the love of benevolence toward the interests of his kingdom, and the love of gratitude. Now look, love is a noun, an affection of mind excited by beauty and worth of any kind or by qualities of on and on and on and on and on and on and on. On and on about what it was that God so loved the world. Well, what did he have? He had a general concern and appreciation for it. We don't understand what love is. Between certain natural laws, love seems to be in some cases instinctive, such as the love of a mother for a child, which manifests towards an infant before any particular qualities in the child are even unfolded. Do you love your baby before you know what kind of kid he is? This affection is apparently as strong as in irrational animals as in human beings. We speak of love of amusements, love of books, the love of money, the love of whatever contributes to our pleasure. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
After yesterday's deal, the Spirit led me on a little bit of study that I went a little deeper and further than I ever did before. And I found myself out there having accepted for all these years what I had been taught in churches about love. Three words for love: agape, phileo, and eros. Okay? So mm-hmm. I went to my good old, for a long time now, I don't go to Bible dictionaries. I go to my good old Oxford Greek English dictionary to find out what Greek words mean and stuff, because I don't trust people that they have to make a special book to tell you what this Greek word meant when it's in the Bible. I don't trust people that have put a different meaning for that book than they do for what history has recorded the words mean down through time. Okay? So I went to the Oxford Dictionary, and there's one Greek word for love, and that's agape. Those other words, phileo and eros, phileo means what you just said, affection, like what Webster said love was. And eros, I'm having a hard time nailing down, but there is no correlation between eros and love in this.
That's right. It's erotic love. It's erotic love. Amen.
Well, that's what we're taught. But it's not love. It's eroticism. It's not love.
Listen, I'm on a horse today. Let's go to justice real quick, Jared. Let's go to justice real quick. Words mean things. Words mean things. What's justice? What is justice? The Lord saw that there was no justice. Remember? The virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Practical conformity to the laws, the principles of rectitude, and the dealings with men with each other. Honesty, integrity in commerce, and mutual intercourse. Justice is distributive or commutative. Distributive justice belongs to magistrates or rulers and consists in distributing to every man the right or equality which the laws and principles of equity require, or in deciding controversies according to the laws or the principles. Then it has impartiality, equal distribution of right and expressing opinions. Equity, agreeableness to right as he proved the justice of his claims. Vindictive retribution, merited punishment. 5, right, application of equity. His arm will do him justice. Do you understand? A person commissioned to hold courts or to try and decide controversies and administer justice to individuals. That the verb transitive is to administer justice, right? Oh my! I don't want to get bogged down on here. This bookmark this. I learned that word too. I don't even know what that means. Bookmark this. Webster's 1828 online dictionary. Bookmark it. My goodness. My goodness. We have been lied to and lied to and lied to and lied to and lied and lied to. Okay, cool. I'm wound up today. I don't know if you're picking up on me here. I know you are. I'm picking up on me. Okay, so I'm going to do most talking today. I'm going to show you some things that are. I got thinking about this. I got thinking about the Russian probe. Hey, Jared, get ready. This little video. It says, "People we hate. People we hate." And I got thinking about the Russian probe and how we hate the Russians. And who else do we hate? Who out there else do we hate? We hate the Russians. We hate the Chinese. We hate the North Koreans. We hate. Hey, can somebody explain to me why we hate the Russians? Why do we hate the Russians? Somebody help me again. Yeah. Why do we hate the Russians? Well, we hate the Russians because we hate their government. Well, okay. I kind of hate our government. Can somebody say amen? Am I the only one there? I kind of hate our government.
Amen, coach.
And so when I get thinking about it, why those Russians? We gotta bomb them Russians. Well, really? So I came across this video. I know you're going to think I'm crazy. This is done in Russian, so it ain't going to make any sense to you other than I want you to watch it, and I want you to tell me why we hate these people. This is like any American DVD somebody would make on their own. And you watch this and you tell me, Americans, why we hate these people. Go ahead, Jared, play this thing. Okay, Jared, you can cut it off. It goes on and on and on. The point is, why do we hate these people? Who told us we hate these people? Somebody put over here, the Clintons told us. Yeah, yeah. Who's picking our enemies for us? What is going on? What's happened to our minds that we would hate these people?
Just regular people like us.
That's right. And we hated the Germans and the Nazis. Well, were all Germans Nazis? All Germans weren't Nazis. Why do we hate the Germans? The German people. Why? Why do people hate the American government? Jared. Okay, let me show you some people we ought to be hating, but do we really? It's the next video, Jared. This is a minute and a half video. I'm not going to show you the whole thing because I don't want to give any glory to the devil. Here's the people we ought to be hating. This is a taped scene of a satanic ritual. Go ahead, Jared. These are the ones we all hate.
Age of terrorists. An age of wolves. Now ends the age of sterility. Look upon and at this rune. Rune of binding.
Yeah, you're right, Coach. We should hate this crap.
We're hating the wrong people, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We sunder thy bonds.
I think we had enough of it.
You loose the ravening wolf.
Okay, Jared, get that crap off there. Get that crap off there. Who told us we're supposed to hate them? Who told us that? Who's manipulating us? Why are we not hating those that we're supposed to hate? Or are we supposed to? See, it's okay. We're supposed to hate Russians. We're supposed to hate Russians. But we're not supposed to hate evil. We're supposed to love evil. We're supposed to try to get evil saved. We're not supposed to hate evil. We're not supposed to hate this. We want to get this guy saved. Really? Really? He's choosing who he'll serve. Are you sitting down? Anybody want to jump in here yet? Because I'm not done. I'll give you a minute. Nothing to say? Gotcha, man. Okay, so Lord, can I do this? Yeah, I'm going to do this. Hey, Jared, go to the one that says Bill Federer. I'm so full of it today. I just don't know what I'm full of. You guys know Bill Federer? Bill Federer, by the way, he's coming to our Occupy Till I Return conference. It's Bill Federer today. I don't know if it was today. I just got it today. I just saw it, okay? Edmund Burke on the French Revolution. What is liberty without virtue? It's madness without restraint. All that is necessary for evil to triumph, for good men to do nothing. Okay, stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going to read this fast. These are just a series of quotes. Go to the second one. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. He was considered, Edmund Burke was considered the most influential orator in the House of Commons. Edmund Burke stands out in history because as a member of the British Parliament, he defended the rights of the American colonies and strongly opposed the slave trade. Men of principle, Edmund Burke wrote, first, according to the ancient, good, and laudable custom of which my heart and understanding require the propriety, I bequeath my soul to God, hoping for his mercy through the only merits of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stay with me. When America's Revolutionary War began, Edmund Burke addressed Parliament with a second speech of conciliation with America. He says, the people are Protestants, and of that kind which is the most adverse to all implicit submission of mind and opinion. In other words, good Protestants don't give in to just every idea. This is a persuasion not only favorable to liberty, but built upon it. Then he continued, Protestantism is a sort of dissent. But the religion most prevalent in our northern colonies is a refinement on the principle of resistance. It is a dissidence of dissent and the Protestantism of Protestant religion. Boy, this is good. Keep going, Jared. Woo! New York Professor Emeritus Patricia U. Bonomi wrote in her article, Religion Pluralism in the Middle Colonies, that the colonies were about 98% Protestant. I'm talking about where we came from and how we got where we are. Burke says the scripture is the most remarkable but most multifarious collection of the records of divine economy, a collection of an infinite variety of theology, history, prophecy, psalmody, morality, allegory, legislation carried through different books by different authors at different ages for different ends and purposes. Keep going, Jared. In 1789, Watts, now listen, see, I got made fun of yesterday. I don't know if you guys know this. Right-wing Watts picked up what I said about Paul Craig Roberts when to watch out for white genocide. You remember that thing Paul Craig Roberts wrote about? And I talked about that. Look what Watts, are you with me? Huh? The assault. History is repeating itself. Nothing new under the sun. In 1789, the French Revolution started with the vaunted motto, liberty, equality, and fraternity. Robespierre led the Committee of Public Safety. He gave a speech to the National Convention July 1794 titled Terror Justified. Okay, this is Robespierre. He's not a Christian. He wants to do away with Christianity. Led the people by means of reason and by terror. Terror is nothing else than swift, severe, indomitable justice. It flows then from virtue. As hard as it is to imagine, the government actually planned and carried out terrorist attacks on its own people. Robespierre's reign of terror resulted in over 40,000 French citizens beheaded in Paris and over 300,000 massacred in Vendée, a rural, very religious Catholic area of northwest France. Stay with me. French General François Joseph Westermann wrote to the Committee of Public Safety saying, there is no more Vendée. In other words, they destroyed the city, killed all the Christians. According to the orders that I gave, that you gave me, I crushed the children under the feet of the horses, massacred the women who at least for these will not give birth to any more brigands. I do not have a prisoner to approach me. I have exterminated them all. Hey, exterminated who? Now, boys and girls, we're talking about the spirit of the age. All those who hate me love death. And the French Revolution was designed to destroy and eliminate Christianity and Christians from the face of the earth. Stay with me. During the French Revolution, churches were closed or used for immoral, lurid, licentious, scandalous, and depravities. The Cathedral of Our Lady of Strasbourg. Crosses were forbidden. Keep going. Religious monuments were destroyed. Graves were ransacked and desecrated, including those of good King Henry IV and St. Genevieve, who had called Paris to pray to avert an attack of Attila the Hun in 451 AD. Public and private worship and religious education were outlawed. Is this ringing in anybody's ear? Treaties were broken, resulting in the capture of 300 American ships headed to British ports. Talleyrand, the French Minister of Foreign Affairs, demanded the U.S. pay billions in bribes to stop France from raiding American ships. A politician skilled in obfuscation, Talleyrand, stated, "We were given speech to hide our thoughts." I'm going to say that again. Words have meaning. We were given speech to hide our thoughts. The French Revolution instituted an intentional campaign to de-Christianize French society, replacing it with a civic religion of state worship. Somebody say amen out there. Keep going. Robespierre placed a prostitute in Notre Dame Cathedral. He clothed her with a sheet and called her the goddess of reason. Not wanting a constitution done in the year of our Lord, as America was, France came up with a new calendar. They started at year one. Not wanting a seven-day week, which with a Sabbath day rest, they came up with a decade week. And each day was made up of 10 decimal hours. Keep going, Jared. Go on, let's get on down. They changed the metric system. The first to be headed was King Louis XVI, who had previously sent his navy to help America gain independence. Next one had beheaded was Marie Antoinette. When the country's situation did not improve, Robespierre accused the royalty, resulting in all of them being beheaded. When the situation did not improve, he killed the wealthy, they beheaded them, followed by business owners and farmers and those who stored food. And those, when the situation did not improve, the religious clergy were beheaded. They're speaking out against the immoral behavior somehow considered as holding back the nation from achieving a secular utopia. Anybody feeling like we're in the Twilight Zone? Religious orders of nuns and lay sisters were sent to the guillotine for refusing to deny the faith and obey the civil constitution of the clergy, such as the martyrs of Compiègne being buried in a mass grave. Keep going here, Jared. We're not done. Priests and ministers, along with those who harbored them, were executed on sight, similar to what happened in Mexico in 1970. Boys, this isn't that long ago. When France's situation did not improve, Robespierre accused those who had been the initial revolutionaries but were now calling for moderation. They were considered disloyal and beheaded. Finally, Robespierre himself was accused, arrested, and beheaded. Because why? Proverbs 26:27 says, "Whosoever diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him." Praise the Lord! Something going on in America. Lawless street mobs cast off all moral restraint in unprecedented debauchery and violence. The seeds of this behavior were planted in a generation earlier by Voltaire. Now they came to fruition. The French Revolution became a model for every socialist and communist revolution, which always ends in dictatorship and mass death. British statesman Lord Acton wrote, "What the French took from the Americans was their theory of revolution, not their theory of government. Their cutting, not their sowing." Oh, best-selling author Oz Guinness said, "The culture war now, at its deepest roots, is actually a clash between 1776 and the American Revolution and 1789 and the heirs of the French Revolution." Do you understand it? Do you see what's going on? Amid France's social and domestic instability, Napoleon began to ride toward dictatorship. Regarding the bloody French Revolution, Edmund Burke wrote a letter to the member of the National Assembly saying, "What is liberty without wisdom and without virtue?" What is liberty without virtue? "It is the greatest of all possible evils, for it is folly, vice, and madness without restraint." Folks, you get that? Liberty without virtue is madness without restraint. Look at our society. Look at our culture. Look, they are now not even putting your sex on driver's license. It's madness. Men are qualified for civil liberty in exact proportion to their disposition to put moral chains upon their own appetites. If you can't control your own moral appetites, you have no business being in leadership. Burke continued, "Society cannot exist unless a controlling power will and appetite be placed somewhere, and the less of it there is without, the more of it there will be, less there is within, the more there will be without." Burke says, if you don't learn to control your passions, then we're going to have to put outside restraints on you. The gospel gives inner restraint. "It's ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters." Look at the look at what's going on in America with a sexual deviancy becoming normalized because people cannot control their natural, earthly, worldly, human passion. No control, no restraint that feels good, do it. It is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters. Noah Webster wrote in Political Fanaticism, the reasons why severe laws are necessary in France is that the people have not been educated Republicans. They do not know how to govern themselves, so they must be governed by severe laws and penalties and a most rigid administration. In 1799, Alexander Hamilton condemned the French Revolution. He said this, "Depriving mankind of its best consolations and most animating hopes to make a glooming desert for the universe. The praise of a civilized world is justly due to Christianity. War, by the influence of the human principles of that religion, have been stripped of half its horrors. The French renounced Christianity and their relapse into barbarism. War resumes the same hideous and savage form which it wore in the ages of Gothic and Roman violence." Alexander Hamilton wrote, "Opinions have been gradually gaining ground which threaten the foundations of religion, moral, and society. The attack was first made upon the Christian revelation, which natural religion was offered as a substitute. The gospel was to be discarded as gross imposture, but the being and attributes of God, the obligations of piety, even the doctrines of a future state of rewards and punishment were to be retained and cherished." So who's the king in America? Governor Morris wrote, "The materials for a revolution in France are very indifferent. There is an utter prostration of morals, of depravity, extreme rottenness of every member. The great masses of the common people have no religion, no law but their superiors, and no morals but what is their interests. In the high road a la liberté, the first use they make of it is to form insurrections everywhere." I'm about done. Governor Morris said, "Religion is the only solid basis of good morals. Therefore, education should teach the precepts of religion and the duties of man to God. Provision should be made for maintaining divine worship as well as education. Religion is a relationship between God and man, and therefore it is not within the reach of human authority." Governor Morris, who died in November, had spoken 173 different times, and he said this, "We the people of the United States." Governor Morris helped write the New York Constitution, was elected senator and pioneered the Erie Canal. "How can we hope for public peace and national prosperity if the faith of governments so solemnly pledged can be so lightly infringed? It comes to all in the moment of affliction is known to him alone, whose divine providence exalts or depresses states and kingdoms in proportion to the obedience or disobedience of his just and holy laws." Burke said in 1790, "People will not look forward to prosperity who never look backward to their ancestors. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Separation of church and state, see? The separation of morality and government. If it feels good, do it. Who are you to judge? Who are you to tell me what's right and what's wrong? All opinions are the same. Do you see that we have slid back into the exact same trap? Let me catch my breath. Somebody jump in here.
I'll tell you what, Coach, that's not how they taught the French Revolution 4 or 5 years ago when I was reading Voltaire and Comte. It was very much glorified.
Yes, sir. That's right. Just like the Webster Dictionary told us what the words really meant, the new dictionaries don't. And just like the old King James Version used to tell us what the Bible really said, the new ones don't. Change the words and you change the world. Here we see what's happening. At the root of all civil government is the personal restraint of a man upon his own actions. We let transgenders in the military. We let homosexuals adopt children. What in the name of God has happened to us, folks? We got 15 minutes. Jump in here. I got something else. Somebody jump in here. Somebody punch me in the mouth if you think I'm crazy. What was that great line? People will not look forward to prosperity if they never look backward to their ancestors. If you don't know where you've been, how do you know where you're going? We have let them. I'm enraged this morning. I'm enraged of what we've permitted them to do, this once great nation.
Jumping in.
Nobody's got anything to say to me.
Yeah, jumping in. So, wow, I'm thinking it was only three lineal generations back in my lifetime that all that happened. It was my great-grandparents' lifetime that happened.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Thanks, Coach, for showing us.
Okay, listen, I got to switch gears with you because I'm going to show you. I'm telling you all this because I'm telling you something is going on. You'll never hear it in church. You're not going to hear it on Fox News. You're not going to hear it from Limbaugh. You're not going to hear it from whoever you listen to. I'm telling you that I know in my knower something is at work in America, okay? Something is going on, and it's just not in America. The Lord told us there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Hey, Jared, pull up. It says Trump's executive order, December 21st. Something is going on. I'm telling you, justice is, God will not be mocked. Okay? Now bear with me. I'm going to try to read this a little slower. I want you to read the executive order that came out with December 21st that hardly anybody really heard anything about. I believe the armies of righteousness are being assembled. You say, Coach, are you kidding?
Amen. Huh? Amen.
And if you haven't figured it out yet, that Donald Trump is not part of the Washington establishment. I don't even know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you if you don't know. And that Donald Trump, whether you want to accept it or not, is fighting a fight that the church is supposed to be fighting. I've talked yesterday and the day before that the missing element in this whole thing is the church. The whole missing element is the church. Where does righteousness and judgment, where does it originate? It originates from God. Who's the purveyor of righteousness and judgment in America today? It's supposed to be the church. Who is doing it? The government. And the government's telling the church what's right and what's wrong, what we can and what we can't do. It's the missing element. And if we sit back and we allow the next president of the United States to come in, they're going to be beheading people in the street. I'm just telling you. And were it not for the grace of God, had Hillary Clinton been elected president of the United States, it might already be going on. I'm sorry, fellas. I'm full of it today. You ought to read this. I found it on LouRockwell.com. Jared, go to LouRockwell.com before we do this. LouRockwell.com. Do you have any idea what they spent a half of $1 billion, $500 million, I think I read, trying to convict the Nevada ranchers. Put it right up there, Jared. Nevada Bundy prosecution crumbles. This is an unbelievable article too, to show us how corrupt our government has become and how they went all in to make sure that never again did any group of citizens rise up and try to question the government. They went all in, $500 billion, agent after agent after agent of the FBI, agent after the ATF, corrupt prosecutors, corrupt judges. They went all in. Make note of that and go read it. I'm not going to spend the time on it. Let's go back to the executive order. Do you understand that? Look at that. 200 body armored wearing agents, semi-automatic weapons. They lied. They had evidence. They hid evidence. Praise the Lord. Release. Let me take a deep breath. Let's go to the executive order. I only got 10 minutes left. Give you something to chew on all weekend. Hey, Jared, let's do this, brother. Let's scroll down. This talk just talks about President Trump. The first part says, yeah, I have the power to do what I'm about to do. Go on down there, Jared, because let's get into it. I have the right to do this, and here's why I have the right to do all. I'm President of the United States, and blah, 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 blah. Keep on going. Okay, on down. Okay, it says, I hereby determine an order. Are you ready? Listen now. This went right over our heads. All property and interests in property that are in the United States that hereafter come within the United States, or that are or from hereafter come within the possession or control of any United States person or foreign policy. Wait a minute, I lost myself. okay, I'm sorry. Or any other persons are blocked, all property, interest, bank accounts of any person of the following persons are blocked and may not be transferred, paid, exported, withdrawn, or otherwise dealt with. Okay? Who are these people? The persons listed in the annex to this order. One, any foreign person determined by the Secretary of Treasury in consultation with the Secretary of State and the Attorney General to A, be responsible for or complicit in or directly or indirectly engaged in serious human rights abuses. Can you say pedophilia? Can you say child, what do they call that? Child marketing? B, to be a current or former government official or a person acting for or on behalf of such an official who is engaged for or complicit in or has directly or indirectly engaged in Hillary corruption, including the misappropriation of state assets, the expropriation of private assets for personal gain, corruption related to government contracts or the extraction of natural resources or bribery, or the transfer of the facilitation of the transfer of the proceeds of construction corruption. You understand what he said? Any money, any fingers, anything, in any government person who got their fingers into doing corruption?
See, Clinton?
To be or have been a leader or official of an entity, including any government entity, including the Clinton Foundation, that has been engaged in or whose members have engaged in or any of the activity described in subsections, yada, 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 of this section relating to the leaders or the official's tenure, or an entity whose property and interests in property are blocked pursuant to this order as a result of activities related to the leaders or their official's tenure, or, by the way, he's cut off all their funding, to have attempted to engage in any of the activities described in these subsections. Any person determined by the Secretary of Treasury in consultation with the Secretary of State and the Attorney General to have materially assisted, sponsored, or provided financial, material, or technological support for or goods or support in support of any activity described in the subsections, any person whose property and interest in property are blocked pursuant to this order, any entity, including any government entity that is engaged in or whose members have engaged any of these, to be owned or to be controlled by or have acted or purported to act on behalf of or directly or directly any person whose property and interest in property are blocked pursuant to this order. This is unbelievable. I'm running out of time. Goes on, lists on down there, and then watch, go on down, keep going, Jared. The unrestricted immigrant, non-immigrant entity, those who help people. Child trafficking, I hereby determine that the making of donations of anybody who has donated to those groups, I determine the making of donations of these types of articles specified in Section 2 or for the benefit of any person of property and interest in property or block pursuant to this order would seriously impair my ability to deal with the national emergency declared in the order, I hereby prohibit such donations as provided. In other words, George Soros's money has been blocked. Going down, Jared. And making contributions or provisions of funds, goods, or services for Black Lives Matter and the deplorables. The receipt of any contribution, provision of funds, goods, or services for any person. Any taxation, transaction evades or avoids. Any conspiracy formed to violate any of the prohibitions set before for the purposes of this. The term person means any individual entity, including Hillary and Bill and Obama. The term entity means a partnership, association, a trust, a joint venture, corporation, group, subgroup, other organization. The term United States person means any United States citizen. For those persons whose property and interest in property are blocked, their stuff is blocked. I find that because of the ability to transfer funds or other assets instantaneously. Prior notice to – he's going to take all of their money. Keep going on down there, Jared. Oh, boy. Have you guys seen this? Did you see the media? Did you see the media talking about this? I'm running out of time.
Hell no.
Going down there, Jared. Going down there. Where is it? I'm looking. Where did it say? I'm fine. Wait a minute. There it is. Go up a little bit more, Jared. The Secretary of the Treasury, in consultation with the Secretary of State, is hereby authorized to submit reoccurring and final reports to the Congress on the national emergency declared in this order.
Thank you, Lord.
President Trump has declared a national emergency. And I'm here to tell you that what is going on behind the scenes is not going through government channels. It's not with the FBI and the CIA and government and Congress. It's not with any of that, because they are, too many of them are involved with it. This is being held, done militarily, primarily through the Marines. Now, you can believe it or you can believe it not, but I believe judgment is coming to a lot of people here in the good old U.S. of A. Sarge, anything? Are you in here with me, Sarge? Any amens to anything I said there, Kevin?
Yeah, I told you a week ago or so, strap in. So I'm strapped in. I don't know about the rest of you.
You're strapped in, Kevin? And why do we have to be strapped in? I'm telling you, you have to be strapped in. Remember this. For the things that are coming upon the earth, be strapped in. Because when this whole thing breaks loose, and I'm just telling you what, I got more stuff I could share with you.
Hey, I just checked that exact
It's going to shake America to its very core. It's going to shake America to its very core when we see what they have done. Can you imagine the reaction of the deport of those snowflakes? Can you imagine the rage and the anger that's going to come out when people see what has been done to them? Can you imagine? Did you also know this,
Coach?
Did you know that now the United States government, through this executive order, has the ability to seize all of George Soros' finances, all the money of the Clinton Foundation? You understand the depth of this thing?
Hey, Coach, I just went to the White House website. That executive order is posted there at December 21st, 2017. It's almost been in effect for a month now. Trump is such he's so smart. He keeps diverting attention away from the things he's actually doing and putting it on the words that he says. He uses the word shithole to keep the press from finding out about this stuff.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? He's got him now worrying about building the wall and DACA. He is the greatest. He must have been a great quarterback. Man, the old bootleg. He's always gone one way when that ain't where he's gone. And that's why yesterday, Kevin, I credit Kevin Bush and Michael Ortega, Michael and Spokane. Yesterday held a nationwide prayer, a 30-minute prayer conference, and there had to be hundreds of people that were on that prayer call yesterday. It was unbelievable. And I'm trying to help us understand that the missing element is the church. The church is the missing element. The church carries the banner of truth. The church does. The church carries the banner of truth. We can't miss out what's going on here. We are living in times that they will be writing, if the Lord tarries, they will be writing about for. We're living an unbelievable time.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I would just like to reiterate with everyone, as I said, I think last week, we all live or are where we are for a purpose. And yes, there is some national things happening, but as a member of this remnant of Christ, was one of his sheep, your purpose in life, I believe right now, is you must start doing deep down digging in your own area, your own town, your own county, and your state.
All politics are local. All politics are local, baby.
Okay? Okay? Now, I'm doing that for my state. The hole is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm not going to say the name, but we all know who the richest family in the world is. And I have a rabbit trail that goes back to it. And so you must do this homework in your local area and your state. And I would say, if you do it, don't worry about going past your state. But make these connections, because I think it is critical for you to understand what is in your own backyard.
Sarge, Russ Dizdar told us there is a Masonic temple in every township in America. Folks, the depth of darkness is so deep and so entrenched. My. Praise the name of the Lord. What a time to be alive. Build your downline. Due diligence. Rest. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. Jesus is Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.